The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted. For a second, I forgot that I had to actually do the intro. Like, I was always like, oh, that's a long second of silence. My name is Asa Gray. I am the five-star man, and I am taking over hosting duties tonight. Mr. 100, Shannon Young, is lost somewhere in parts unknown.
But has cell service, and he said email him the show, and he'll post it.
Okay.
Yeah, so we just got that confirmation right now.
Good.
That was when he has his laptop.
These other voices that you hear are, of course, the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo!
And Allie, not actually A-Bear.
Hello.
Hello. So, we're going to get into this. I'm not used to hosting.
But so. I will say, like, I'm not happy that Shannon's gone, but he picked an amazing week to not be here. Because
for him, because we get to talk about Wrestle Kingdom, and he won't.
Yeah, because there's so much Japanese wrestling, and he watched a good part of it.
Right.
But
as we slowly turn and apologize to Allie.
Yeah, so there's going to be a good stretch where you just won't have to talk at all.
It'll be an easy night. You missed the train wreck that was CCW Live with just the two of us.
Oh, it wasn't.
We had call-in segments. It was a blast.
There was a four-way argument with two people over a phone.
Yeah, we're not up to the microphone, so there's just silence.
Yeah.
Before we get started, I want to take a real quick second and send our thoughts and prayers and condolences to Heath Hatton. His dad looks like to be, I didn't want to bother him because he's one of those guys where it's like, I mean, I would consider us friends, but it's still that thing of like, I don't know him that well. I don't want to be weird. So, but his dad is going through some health issues right now. And we just want to say that we're thinking about him, praying for him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And he's also, like we say, he's one of those people you don't know really well. He's also been nothing but completely sweet to us.
Yeah. He's always just been one of the nicest guys. So, yeah. Just wanted to say that from everybody at, Pro Wrestling Unscripted and Podzilla 1985. So with that covered, one of the bigger things potentially, cause we don't know the scale that it's going to happen. But it just happened today. Apparently Gabe Sapolsky has officially signed a WWE contract,
which is odd. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome, but it's odd.
It's super weird. Apparently his role will be as a consultant,
which is more odd.
I mean, if you bring him in as like a writing advisor.
Yeah.
Which apparently he still is going to be taking care of, WWN, I think is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And his other, like the other promotions that he's working with. So like, he won't be losing responsibilities there. It's just, he might be, whatever he's going to contribute to WWE is going to be better. Because for those who don't know, Gabe Sapolsky started Dragon Gate, was Paul Heyman's right hand for the longest time in ECW.
Yeah. He had a big hand in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
In their early startup. Like, as people like CM Punk and Colt Cabana talked about him all the time.
Right.
Just being as great as he was.
Because he was someone with a mind who very much was like on board with maybe some of the less traditional wrestler style, if you will. Like body wise.
Like look wise. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Trying to figure this out so I can actually keep an eye on Audacity and my notes at the same time. It's not going well. Oh, Lord.
Well, just.
Okay, we did it.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what he brings to the table.
Like, yeah.
Even if it is just a sense of cohesive week-to-week storytelling that maybe some of these other writers have kind of lost track of for certain things.
And it's also one of those things, like, whenever you bring somebody like that in, like, even whenever they brought in Jimmy Jacobs, like, Jimmy Jacobs brought us one of the best angles
in the last 5 years.
Well, yeah, Festival of Friendship, the List of Jericho.
Right.
Like, that's all stuff that he came up with, and that's, like, I'm not saying Jimmy Jacobs and Gabe Sapolsky are one of the same, but they definitely come from the same school of thought.
Yeah.
Where it's like, all right, you can do sports entertainment and still make it entertaining without being insulting.
Right. Without having to.
Like where it's fun.
Pretend that you don't remember what happened last week.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't fit with this thing that you've decided to do this week. Let's see. New Japan Pro Wrestling World, got a boost of 25,000 subscribers for Wrestle Kingdom 12.
Yep.
Which is, when you compare it to like WWE network numbers, like that may not seem like a lot, but that brings their total subscriber count to 95,000.
Jesus.
You know, and WWE is constantly pitching like the, they want to hit the million mark. They want to stay at the million mark.
Mm-hmm.
And New Japan, which granted, this is the first year New Japan World has been launched. This is, it's fine. Like, I don't think that you should look at these numbers and be like, oh, New Japan has no one watching. Cause they clearly do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see the number of fall off that people, of the people who cancel their subscription now that Wrestle Kingdom has ended.
Which yeah. I really hope a lot of people don't do.
Right.
Because, like, I'm not canceling mine. Am I a little salty about the $8 I paid for the 2 days of access just to get charged 2 days later? A little. But in fairness, in those 2 days, I watched a good 5 hours of wrestling.
You got your $8 worth.
I got my $8 worth. And then a couple days later, I got my other $8 worth whenever Wrestle Kingdom 12 hit.
Right.
And, like, even the stuff after New Year's Dash, like, there's, it is such a fun subscription thing to have. And honestly, after Wrestle Kingdom 12, like, even if you don't speak Japanese, it's a lot more entertaining if you listen to it with the commentary of that commentary, honestly.
Yeah.
Like,
just the energy that they
yeah,
bring.
Yeah. It's fun.
The, and it is that thing too where, you know, New Year's Dash is literally the night after.
Yeah.
It's wow. basically like, it's like their Raw, but bigger. Cause like the Raw after WrestleMania mm-hmm. is always huge. But this is always, it always just feels bigger.
And you know what the New Year's Dash didn't have? Douchebags with beach balls.
What?
And like people doing stupid chants. Like it was weird. I'm used to that.
Well, was it Bizarro World? Did they cheer who they normally boo?
Well, he was just having fun out there, Aggle.
Ugh, gross. So on Raw, we got the return of The Miz.
Yeah.
Which was great because like the promo he cut was perfect of him just like, I let Roman hold on to that while I went and filmed my movie. But daddy's home. And it's so gross. It's so skeevy, but it's so Miz. Uh-huh. And I love it. And he's just like, he's furthering cementing how he's one of my favorites on Raw.
Yep. Rolling in WWE Stone wrestling, in general. Yeah. Rolling Stone Wrestler of the Year.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That was super cool. But part of that, his return came with the announcement that he is getting his own reality show on the USA Network with Maurice, titled Miz and Mrs.
Like, I get it. But they probably could have thought of something else.
I mean, yeah, I don't know how I feel about the name, really, other than it is kind of catchy. And it's cute.
Yeah, like,
this is one that, like, I don't watch Total Divas. I didn't watch Total Bellas. I can say I'm not going to watch
this.
But
this isn't on E! This
it'll
is
be
USA.
Yeah, it'll probably be right after Raw.
if it means that we're gonna see Miz and Mrs. commercials instead of Chrisley Knows Best, best decision that this network has ever made. Just all on board with that.
The voices will be a lot less annoying. God, I can't stand Chrisley.
No, he's the worst.
Yeah,
just the worst human. I mean, that's not true. He's probably a very nice man, but his voice is grating. And whenever you have to listen to it, like almost as much as you hear any of the actual wrestlers talk. On Raw, if you're sitting down and watching on TV.
And it's super unfortunate. I think it's Tuesdays whenever it's like on rerun, but it's like, is right before SmackDown. Cause like I'm on DirecTV now. That's how I watch it. And I'll watch it live when I can.
Mm-hmm.
And like whenever, cause like sometimes I have issues with my Chromecast or my laptop or what have you. So I log in a couple minutes early and then I have to like sit there and listen to it while I'm texting or something.
You know, there's
an option to mute. I'll forget to unmute it, and then I'll miss wrestling. I'm dumb. You know this.
I mean, that is a special kind of dumb.
Like, I'll just be on my phone and be like, oh, I missed 10 minutes.
Yeah, I can't talk to you.
Is this surprising?
Why is Shannon not here? He would yell at you.
Parts unknown?
Come back.
He's trying to run away into haunted towns.
That's the least surprising sentence you could have said.
I know.
The other part of Miz's return that we got, we found out who his partner is going to be for the WWE Facebook Mixed Match Challenge. He's going to be teaming with Asuka. And I love that.
So who's going to win? Like, who's going to win this Mixed Match Challenge?
The reason that Miz is in that team is so he can take the pin.
Yeah.
Like, let's not kid ourselves. Yeah. Someone on Reddit posted I want him and, Miz and Asuka versus Strowman and Bliss to be a match. So you can have Asuka towering over Bliss as Bliss is like begging away scared. But then you have in the opposite corner, Miz like cowering away from Strowman.
Yeah.
Just like that would be funny. Some of the other names that we got a bunch of other teams this week.
Yeah.
I know we already talked about last week, the Rude and Charlotte and, what was the first team? Strowman and Bliss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also got Asuka and Miz, Nia Jax and Apollo Crews.
Hashtag team first round loss.
Was Enzo still sick? I don't understand. Was that ever confirmed, or did everyone just assume that was going to be the thing?
No.
I don't think it was confirmed. I think people just
saw where the storyline was going.
Yeah.
There was a segment last week where it was Nia Jax leaving to give Enzo soup.
Right.
And then this week it was Bliss asking how Enzo's doing.
So I think people were just assuming.
But didn't he wrestle though?
I don't know. I didn't watch a lot of Raw.
I'm pretty sure he retained his championship against Cedric Alexander because he got counted out. He faked an ankle injury.
He still has the belt.
So he's bad. I don't know. But I don't know if that team was ever actually confirmed. What is confirmed is it's Nia Jax and Apollo Crews.
Yeah.
Why? Shrug emoji. Team Machka, Rusev and Lana.
That video of the announcement was cute.
So adorable.
I haven't seen
They are so perfect. Rusev sings a song about how great Lana is.
And Daniel Bryan starts singing the same song and goes, wait, Bree's the best.
We're getting Goldust and Alicia Fox, which if anybody is a fan of patterns, Goldust is teaming up with someone who uses a scissor kick as a finisher for the third time. Booker T.
Yeah.
R-Truth.
Oh, Alicia Fox. R-Truth.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to do.
I knew Booker T.
We're getting Sasha Banks and Finn Balor.
Oh, that team's going to not do well.
Balor's sad because it wasn't Bayley.
Yeah, they're
well, Bayley's probably sadder because she was campaigning for that one hard. The club is a thing, and it's on WWE TV, and they won.
Twice.
Yeah. So, I mean, yay.
It looks like Gallows and Anderson actually care.
Right?
Finn
can't get the smile off of his face if he tried. It's so cute.
Yeah.
Getting Naomi and Jimmy Uso, another husband-wife pairing, mm-hmm. which is cool. Sami Zayn and Becky Lynch. I think that team would... I don't know if I'm if that team would be more fun now that Sami is a heel, or if that team would be more fun if Sami was still a face.
I think it'd be more fun if he was a face.
Both gonna just spin their way to the ring.
Yeah.
Because they have the same...
so much energy. Nakamura and Natalya.
Oh! That's my sleeper pick. I want that team to win. That one.
Really?
Yeah. I'm on board for so. I don't. That pairing is so odd that I want them to win.
Okay.
They're not gonna, but.
Just announced tonight, Carmella and Big E.
Was that.
That was one of the fan votes where it's which one of the New Day did you want to see as Carmella's partner? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other fan vote was, who do you want Bayley to team up with? And the winner of that one, by a landslide, was Samoa Joe. Because, yeah, like you said, Bayley hugs him from the front, Joe hugs you from behind, mm-hmm. one of them hurts more.
Whoa! It's a Bayley to belly, Asa.
No. Your vision will go hazy. Promo of the year.
Something really bad is going to happen to you.
Oh, so good. But... because Kurt Angle tweeted out that Samoa Joe was injured, so he has to be replaced in the Mixed Match Challenge. The number two vote, which this was very surprising to me that was number two, it's Bayley and Elias.
Yes.
So Bayley walks with Elias. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm on board with that. I'm picturing in my head, her trying to do the inflatable tube man dance and get the tube men to go with one of his, super slow, rude ballads. And, him lying to her and saying that, no, this will be a good song. And then he starts good, but then starts tearing the town down, and Bayley has to tries to
stop him. Oh, God, that'd be amazing. Did you see the video from WWE at Cape Girardeau this weekend?
No. Oh, of Elias and Braun?
Yeah, did you see that, Allie?
No.
Elias, so on house shows, Elias will actually sing a real song. There was one with the Miz Tourage, Without Miz, so Bo Dallas and Axel singing Wonderwall. For a small part. This one, he starts Freebird, which for the white trash DNA in me, Freebird hits.
It's a banger.
Freebird hits. Braun comes up behind him, and now Braun has a new catchphrase. I don't know if you've been watching Raw recently, but it's, you can get these hands. He's been saying that. He said it against Rhino and Heath Slater. So he stops him singing Freebird, which broke my heart because I love that song. and says, I have a song for you. It's called Catch These Hands, and then hits him. I didn't go to it, but that was the one video I saw from it that cracked me up beyond belief. Because now if I ever go to an actual, like a Monday Night Raw taping, and I'm like anywhere to where I can be heard, I will yell Freebird at him as loud as I can. Because again, White Trash DNA, it'll like, it's automatic. I can't help it.
It's just, you know, we're trying to teach you better.
It's old shoe.
It's old shoe. And unfortunately, everyone kind of speculated that the Samoa Joe injury was just a way for them to not do that team. Mm-hmm. Especially because it turns out, which is actually really cool, Samoa Joe has joined the cast of a new Transformers animated show. Apparently, he's going to be voicing a character named Predaking.
Whoa! All right, now, wait a minute. I know you're doing the, like, Predaking face, Allie, but in the world of Transformers, that sounds like the baddest of asses.
Right? Because, like, listen to his voice. Like, Samoa Joe's voice is, like, you kind of just automatically, I don't know how I didn't pair him up with Decepticon.
Optimus!
I apologize for that.
I was trying to do Regal, but Optimus is
no, I get what you were doing, but you did it real loud.
Yeah, well, I can't do that quietly.
Yeah, but you could leave it away from the mic when you did it. So that's awesome. And this isn't just some, like, little, like, oh, Transformers is getting a little mini show. Other voice actors that are going to be part of this show include Ron Perlman and Mark Luke Skywalker Hamill. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so excited for him. So everyone's like, oh, well, that's convenient. He's not able to do the Mixed Match Challenge, but he just took a, you know, television role. But then it turns out he actually has a, I'm going to say this wrong, plantar fascia rupture.
Close enough.
Which is a muscle in the foot. And weeks of immobilization with a boot and crutches. And yeah, so there's no timetable for when he'll come back. Hopefully it's quick.
Yeah.
Like, hopefully this isn't, like, a huge deal. It won't need surgery.
Which, good, because if it's a surgery thing, you're looking at, like, 6 months at
right,
least.
And especially with the promo he cut on Raw, like, it kind of seemed like they might be building towards a Samoa Joe-John Cena feud for leading into WrestleMania.
I did see that promo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. So, like, just please not be a, like, miss next 2 weeks of Raw. That's fine. I'm okay with it. Surprise entry into the Rumble, and then he wins it. And then he chokes out Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
I mean, Reigns.
Where am I? I got sidetracked.
Are you in the Dark Universe?
Oh. So good. We did Nerds for Hire last night, and I got to gush about Dark Knight's metal because it's so cool. It's stupid. It's the dumbest thing, but I love it.
It's the wrestling thing. Sometimes comics are really dumb, but really awesome.
It's like if Braun Strowman was like pure evil. And made of, like, F you. It's, like, that would be the Dark Multiverse.
So Braun Strowman 5 months ago.
A little bit. jumping back to New Japan, they are doing, to further their expansion out of, you know, Japan towards the West, they're doing a 4-day tour in Australia in February. Which is cool.
Yeah.
And this isn't just, like, oh, some New Japan's out. Like, Okada's going to be there, Naito's going to be there. Like, this is a legit New Japan tour place in Australia.
When they do these expansions, because they did a big American one last year with, I can't think of the name of it, but when they did it with Ring of Honor, those shows were so well received, and it was just one of those, like, I love that New Japan is doing this, because it is, I mean, it's the number two wrestling company in the world.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're like, oh yeah, no, we can get fans from all over the globe, which is what WWE can do, so it's nice to see them doing that too.
Right. I'm willing to bet these shows are going to do really well.
Following Wrestle Kingdom 12, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a great time for them to expand and show, like, okay, that's what we did at the biggest show of the year, but our match quality is pretty much that year round.
Yeah.
And now they have a chance to really show that.
And minus Jericho, like, all of those guys are very much just New Japan, aside from the Bucks and Cody with Ring of Honor and Scroll.
Yeah.
But, like, that, they're always at New Japan as well.
Right. Well, speaking of Cody and the Bucks, a couple weeks ago, we've been talking about the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes have announced that they're doing their goal is to do a 10,000 seat theater indie show, not an ROH show, not a PWG show, you know, just a one off sell 10,000 seats, as many as we can event featuring just like all their friends. And you have to assume like the hottest in free agent.
Yeah, anybody that can be there will be there.
Like, there will be New Japan people, there'll be ROH people, they'll be there. So we have a name and a date. It's called All In, and it's September 1st. They have teased that the location will be revealed in an upcoming Being the Elite episode. Just tell me it's not in Chicago so I can go ahead and get this heartbreak over with. Especially because the first weekend of September is usually when they do the Bola tournament.
Yeah.
So there's some speculation happening that this will end up being like night two of Bola is this all-in show. But they do have some names confirmed. None of them are particularly surprising, minus one. Kenny Omega, for sure. Both the Young Bucks. Cody Rhodes. Marty Scurll. Hangman Page. And Stephen Amell. One of these things is not like the other.
The Arrow?
No, she knows.
Okay,
she knows.
It looks like a confused look.
I mean, probably confused because, like, when you look at those names and it's... I mean, it's all Bullet Club people and it's all... Because technically he is, you know, Vigilante Club.
And he's had a wrestling match. He's had two.
He's had a couple.
Yeah.
And he's good.
He tag teamed with Neville. SummerSlam a couple years back? Oh. Beat Stardust?
And?
The Ascension?
Nope.
Oh, was it Barrett?
Yep.
Oh, that's sad. Get Barrett back. They were doing the Cosmic Wasteland.
On Twitter, they were.
Yeah,
I don't think that ever actually got named on TV.
But yeah, no, I'm super excited. And if it's that, I mean, it's going to be that week and that's the day. But if it's in Chicago, Asa, we're going.
I know.
Because we have that Monday off.
We're all going. Yeah, because it's Labor Day weekend.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
So we're going.
PWU trip.
Hope you like trains.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right, cool. She likes trains. We're going.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
I mean,
awesome.
Shannon said he wanted. He's never been on a train, and he wanted to.
Neither have we.
Train. So I haven't either. So
Cody, if you're listening, Chicago.
We know you are. Yeah, Chicago. I know it's already set in stone, and it's probably in SoCal.
Don't,
but do it for me.
Chicago, and don't ever do the crossroads off of the apron again.
That was scary.
Yeah.
More of that to come. I see Impact and I'm just like, I wish it was better. They are doing their new set of tapings tonight, which feature a four-sided ring. Word going around that I've seen is that Don Callis was not a fan of the six-sided ring in general, and he actually let the wrestlers vote on whether they wanted a six-sided ring or a four-sided ring, and four-sided ring won out, which apparently, according to like, people like AJ Styles and Austin Aries and a bunch of people have said, like, no, the six-sided ring, because of the structure of it, makes it way harder.
Mm.
Because one of the first things that Hogan did when he took over TNA is he got rid of the six-sided ring, brought in a four-sided ring. And everybody was against it because that six-sided ring really gives you that identity, because there's nothing else like that in America.
Yeah.
It's more popular in Mexico, but in North America, it's...
They're the only ones. They were the only ones doing it, pretty much.
Right. And AJ Styles was very much against it until he took a superplex, and he said it was like landing on pillows compared to that six-sided ring.
Yeah, because like whenever you have you have more angles in it, so when you have that wood, like the bottom of the ring, it's made differently because it's a different shape.
Yeah,
it doesn't lead itself to as much bracing. It's just you're just gonna fall straight, and there's not a lot of dissipation because it's going everywhere instead of just like the square. If that makes sense. Also, top rope moves, from what I've heard, are more difficult to set up, which is why Impact always had those really wide turn or the pads, because they could kind of stand on those more. Whereas when you have a 90-degree angle, it's really easy to put your legs. But when it's more angled out, it's more obtuse. Your feet are in different angles than what you're used to. Because again, they're the only people doing a six-sided ring, so it's not like you get a lot of training time in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully they make it work. Like, I mean, I don't think there's people tuning into Impact because they had a six-sided ring.
Yeah. I vaguely remember whenever they first switched, or when they switched back, Austin Aries was still on Impact. And he made a tweet that was very anti-six-sided ring.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe said something along the lines of it being unsafe. And then what I'm assuming is somebody from Panda Energy or Dixie Carter, because that's who owned it at the time, said, hey, how about you not run down the people that are paying you a stupid amount of money, and then send a tweet out being like, I would never accuse Impact of putting our lives in danger. It was just my personal opinion. It's like, oh, Austin Aries, sweet baby, what is you doing? Being their champion at that point in his career.
Yeah, because he was...
He was like X Division or World.
I mean, surely Austin Aries, like, after that kind of fiasco wouldn't, you know, go back to that company.
And if he did go back, that company wouldn't give him like a title.
Yeah, they wouldn't immediately just like reward him for showing up. Like clearly,
like the if you walk in the minute you get there and you get a belt,
right?
After running the company down, that's not good.
Right, that wouldn't happen.
I get it.
I was waiting for her to interject our joke. Well, spoiler alert.
There is some good news coming from Impact-ish. Matt Hardy put out a woke tweet about how there are some new warriors on his, there are new allies in the Great War. Ed Nordholm and Anthem, seemingly have dropped their claim on the Broken Universe, I guess is what they ended up calling it. Go away, Nintendo Switch News. Because it's long enough that I feel like it's... There it is. I am thrilled to proclaim that we have acquired new allies on our side of the Great War. Ed Nordholm and the Owl of Anthem have revealed themselves as majestic beings who stand on the side of the light. The light always emerges. Woken warriors, everything is copacetic and wonderful. Which, I mean...
That's big words after being as mean as that owl as they were.
No. That'll be post-show. So it's that thing where it's like, I mean, with how deep they're going with the Woken thing, maybe if he decides to actually go heel with it, like then they can go Woken to Broken, because Broken does kind of have that negative connotation to it.
Which means Bray can win a feud.
Oh, honey.
Well, I tried.
I know. Don't get your or my hopes up. So yeah, but it's cool. It's cool that they have seemingly backed down on something that they should never have been taking such a stand on in the first place.
Yeah, it's...
And I don't know if they're doing it out of the kindness of their hearts, or maybe their lawyer finally got around to, like, looking at it and being like, oh, sweet baby, what is you doing?
Yeah.
Like, no, you, we, no. Lionel Hutz, like, mm-mm, doesn't work. Shannon would have gotten the Simpsons reference.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry he's not here, Asa.
Also, something that Shannon should probably comment on more so than any of us. WWE is getting their own channel on Next VR, which is, I'm not familiar with this, what it is. Apparently it's some sort of like streaming service that does live events that you can watch like in VR, and it does like a VR experience for like these major events. I'm assuming it's like sporting events and stuff like that. Like there
I
could,
guess, yeah.
Cause I could totally see like a Super Bowl VR experience. Like,
yeah.
Things
maybe
like that.
Even concerts.
Right.
I would absolutely love to see not TV side at a taping, just a robot in a chair with like the camera that does that. Cause I know there's going to be somebody just flipping the bird of that camera the entire time. So whenever you turn around, you will just see one guy throughout the entire Raw, just bird.
Right.
Cause that's what I would do.
The DNA is showing again, Dalton.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll be the NFL football robots?
Oh, Leroy? Shut up.
Is that his name?
Yes, shut up.
I'm sorry, this podcast is a new topic. The NFL football spiking, dancing fox robot.
Yeah, like one's name Leroy. I'm pretty sure, I'm 95.
Why do you know that?
Ding, 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 ding. I'm from the Southeast Missouri.
I am too.
Sorry.
Yeah, but some of us listened to a little bit too much Lynyrd Skynyrd as a child and as an adult. And like,
I don't remember
home.
The verse of Lynyrd Skynyrd where it says, and the football robot's name is Leroy.
No, but the only time to watch Hank Williams is during Monday Night Football, because I am ready for some football. Can we please stop talking about how I'm white trash?
No, because Toby Keith should if he hasn't yet, he absolutely will put out a song about how the football robot's name is Leroy.
I'm like 95% sure that robot's name is Leroy. I'm Googling it.
See, that's the thing where neither of us have the experience with it to even begin to question it.
No.
So, I'm
You sounded the way you said that. You're just like, Leroy?
You said it with such conviction. Yeah. And really, this is a win-win scenario for us, because either he knew that and was proud of that fact, Or he got it wrong.
Cletus! Alright, it was a really white trash name. Leroy was as close as I was gonna get, but it is Cletus the robot.
At least Cletus is a football pun.
That's true, yeah. I didn't think of that until just now. I'd spell like Cleet too.
Oh, dear sweet baby.
So, Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, that's coming. I don't know if you're allowed to watch it. Like, it's that.
I went full Shannon during the entire show.
I don't think, like, do you want.
Didn't understand how the Chromecast app to work at first.
Oh. Okay, so he was, like, making such a big deal about how difficult it was to figure out Chromecast for the New Japan app. And so when he gave me the information so I could watch it, I very much assumed, like, I was going to have the same trouble. So I had my laptop with me. I was ready to look stuff up. But I was like, okay, well, I'll just see, like, how far I can get.
Uh-huh.
I open up the app. I put in it in English. Oh, Wrestle Kingdom 12. That's what I want to watch. I click that. It starts playing on my phone. And anytime I play video on my phone, it gives me the cast option. So I just hit the cast button, picked Attic TV, and then it was on my TV and not on my phone anymore.
So what did you do?
So he's on an Android, and like, so there is an Android thing where it shows no pictures.
So he has the superior phone?
Eat excrement.
I mean, if you're talking from strictly a, you know, technology or hardware standpoint, yes. If you're talking about, like, label on the back that makes me pay an extra $400, then I unfortunately am lacking there.
No, that makes you smarter. So I want to note that me and Asa have Androids.
So anyway.
And you
so anyway,
got the name of the NFL robot wrong.
So.
I like when Allie's on.
So there's two different ways to, like, if you're on an Android, it's different. Like, if you're just doing, like, Chromecast,
it's
like that.
It's easier, apparently.
But if you're going through iPhones or iPads, you have to have the New Japan app, and then you have to throw that up on your Chromecast, and then you have to go, like, through the internet browser and do it that way. Because if you just do it that, like, the way he did, it doesn't work the right way. Like, you have to, like, take
on iOS.
I know, iOS, you have to do it differently.
That's just silly.
That is silly.
I mean,
this literally could not be easier. Because, like, when you go through, I mean, in his defense, like, when he says you have to go through the browser, the New Japan app sends you to the browser. Basically.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Like.
Oh, well, actually, no. I just had it pulled up on my, like, Safari. So I just.
I am trying so hard to help you here. You just need to stop, buddy.
So Wrestle Kingdom 12?
We're getting there. Maybe next year you can watch some of it in VR on Next VR, but not through the WWE channel because they're getting their own channel. Which they also said it's only supposed to be, like, 10 or 15 minutes. So it's not like you can. Well, it's not like when we come and watch the show, Shannon will just be in his full VR and be able to see everything. It'll just be like one little experience. Like, I'm assuming it would be like an entrance or.
Cause they've done entrances in VR before.
Right.
So if Shannon could, he definitely would.
Oh yeah.
But sitting next to him while he watches this, he would not be paying attention to the ring at all.
No,
for
he
one.
He would be looking around
and. Like, staring at us without noticing, and we're just, can you look at the ring butt? And no, the worst part would be, he would probably, because in VR, what they see is what you see on the TV. We wouldn't be able to look at the ring either, because he would just be staring at everyone else.
We would have to have a second screen.
He would just be like, there's some a-hole flipping me off the entire, Dalton?
I'm trying to find him. On Raw, we got a list of, they're doing their big Raw 25th anniversary, which is going to be the show right before, the Royal Rumble. So it's coming up here in 2 weeks.
Royal Rumble?
Sounds right.
Yeah. Is it?
Cause it's the 10th now, and the Royal Rumble's the 28th?
Yeah, it's the 28th cause it's the day after CCW.
Yeah. It's coming up in the next couple weeks.
It doesn't really
matter. If you watch WWE, you'll know.
Cause they only pimp it every 40 seconds. You hear it as much as the Chrisley commercials.
Almost. I can't believe they don't have Chrisley talking about it at some point. That's a crossover no one needs. but some of the big legends returning, confirmed are the APA, the Dudley Boys, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Undertaker. I think Brother Love is actually confirmed. Which is weird, but it's cool.
I mean, Bruce Pritchard's been there for a while. Like, I know he helps out.
Well, you know, he just left TNA.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, like, he was in Impact for a while.
Yeah.
And, like, he has that Something to Wrestle With. Is that the name of his podcast?
Maybe.
It's something like that. It's pretty good. Like, it's no Pro Wrestling Unscripted. If you want actual, like, insider and veteran knowledgeable opinions, then, yeah, I guess that's fine.
Did you see who the guest for Talk Is Jericho is this morning?
Yeah, it's Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega, they're talking about their match. I haven't listened to it yet.
I haven't either. It looks like it would be really cool though. One of the names that got rumored though is Eric Bischoff.
Which, neat.
Yeah, I mean, everyone you you always associate him with WCW, but he had a pretty good run on Raw.
Yeah.
As the general manager. And so it would make sense for him to come back. Also, the Jerry the King Lawler and good old JR will be there. I think they're actually going to be commentating for a chunk of it.
You need to get the audiobook for JR's book.
Yeah.
It's real good.
I need to get a lot of things. Also, the stars of SmackDown will be there. I'm sure that won't be awkward.
Well, Survivor Series was back in November, Asa.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, no one cares that they...
They're going to be cool until October.
I hate it. I hate it.
You hate it?
So stupid. It's so stupid.
I understand. But you know what?
I'm getting mad.
Every once in a while in wrestling...
Dark Knight Metal.
Every once in a while in wrestling, you just got to get over it.
No.
I know.
Be better. And there was something else with the Raw 25. More names will be announced. I'm sure it'll end up being cool. Oh, apparently it's supposed to be 5 hours long. It will air the normal 3 hours, but like it's supposed to be like a 5 hour event. And there seems to be a lot of speculation. Allie looks like she's about to have a stroke just thinking about that.
Cause at least with a 5 hour pay-per-view, it's at least pay-per-view for 5 hours.
I'm guessing at one point it's gonna be turn over to the network to see the rest.
That's what I have to assume, is that it's like the first 2 hours, like they do some sort of pre-show.
Yeah.
Which would make sense, but I'm like, and again, and people are assuming like, oh, it's going to be a 5 hour edition of Raw on USA. That's not what it is. That's already been confirmed, I'm pretty sure. But as, again, there's a couple weeks between now and then. I'm sure they will clarify that as it goes. And once that clarification happens, we'll talk about it again on here. But yeah. It could be cool. I like these anniversary shows, like when they bring back the older names.
Yeah, and as much as people like to dump on them, I always dug old school Raws. I'm bummed they haven't done them in a while.
Right. Have they done the old school Raw with a cage match with the old blue cage yet? Because that's something I've always wanted them to do, and I don't remember if it's a thing that they have done in the past or if it's just something that I've always thought that would be cool to see.
Yeah, no, I don't know the answer to that.
Come on, Dalton.
Alright. I'm pretty good at most other things.
Like remembering football robot names.
Oh, wait!
Oh, my God!
Oh.
But he wasn't.
Mm. How about that? Other fun news. I like this episode.
I don't.
Until I looked at how much time we've covered.
How much time we got?
We're only at 37 minutes.
Well, so, Wrestle Kingdom 12.
I know. We'll fill it. It's coming. Calm down. It's okay. We'll talk about Cody. Candice LeRae has apparently this just happened. I just saw this story right before we started recording. It's from something called Squared Circle Sirens, I think was the name of the website. I haven't heard of it before. But their sources are saying that Candice LeRae has officially signed with WWE, and is her medical tests have passed, and she will be reporting to the Performance Center in the next couple weeks, which is awesome. Gimme Gargano and Candice LeRae versus Almas and Zelina Vega.
Sir.
Give it to me tomorrow.
Do you know how heartbroken Joey Ryan is?
I mean, she just got a shirt on in Hot Topic, too.
At select stores.
I'm guessing the cape one is not select.
No.
Is the cape one ever select?
No. Yeah, it's not select is what I was going to say.
It's trying so hard.
I was so bummed.
Is Joey, because Joey Ryan's also getting a Hot Topic shirt. Is that select stores too?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not asking to be like, this is one time I genuinely actually don't know. I'm not trying to.
I mean,
like,
I'm really hoping. I'm really, really hoping it sells well. Because it's the whole thing of like, well, it sells well in the select stores. They'll put it out to everything.
Right.
Because like, because again, we're going to get into it. But as much as I love the Los Ingobernables de Japón, that was the best I'm ever going to do that. Their shirt is at Hot Topic.
Right.
And that is a way more deeper pool for American fans than King of Dong style. And that is a shirt made for Hot Topic.
Really is.
Or Spencer's.
Really is. Joey Ryan.
It would actually be kind of fantastic if he sees, you know, New Japan and all these people doing Hot Topic deals, so he goes to Spencer's.
I want to sell my shirt at Spencer's.
It'd be the top selling shirt of all time at Spencer's.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Because Joey Ryan's.
Is Spencer's still open in Cape?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Every time I go to the mall, like three other stores have closed.
And I'm pretty sure it is. Right?
And for those who aren't local, just for some context.
There's 10 stores in that mall.
No, this is a college town and we couldn't keep a Hollister open.
I don't think they can, because whenever I just recently went to St. Louis and their Hollister was closed too.
It really? Could just be.
I
company.
Think something's going up with Hollister. Well,
granted, our Hollister closed like 3 years ago.
Yeah. That oh, it saw it coming.
Yeah.
The amount of love that Hollister is getting on pro wrestling and
stuff. We also couldn't
right now.
Keep Aeropostale open.
That yeah.
Cheap jeans.
American Eagles left.
And or Buckle.
Is Buckle closed?
No, Buckle's still there. I have a friend that works at Buckle.
Okay.
What?
I have a friend that works at the Buckle.
I thought it was gone.
The Buckle is still there.
It's super expensive. Buckle, if you want to sponsor us,
I also
up.
Just, you know, never go into that store.
That's fair. So yeah, so Candice LeRae, I hope she's going to WWE. I hope she's going to NXT because I want to see her team with Gargano. I want to see them wrestle Almas and Vega. I want to see Psycho Killer, piece of human garbage Ciampa, come back and put her in the worst submission hold of all time, like, cause he will, because he's a monster, and he has no feelings and no remorse, and I can't wait for him to do that, and then Gargano kick his head off.
Cause that was the first thing I said whenever you said it. I was like, oh, I can't wait for Ciampa to kill her.
Yeah. Cause he's a bastard. I hate Ciampa. DIY breakup.
That was the heartbreak of the year. That should have been a category.
We would have, it should, no, never mind. Not opening that wound.
Festival of Friendship.
Well, I mean, Festival of Friendship was sad, but they'd teased that before.
Yeah, that's true.
And the graphic, like the end of show graphic.
And then,
but
death.
Wait, yeah. Oh, I'm sad. Yeah, in the same vein of Candice LeRae potentially signing someone at, we talked about Ricochet and War Machine being rumored to sign pretty soon. Someone asked Meltzer on Twitter, when that was going to be, when it was actually going to happen. And his response was basically, consider it done. So, I'm sure, I mean, they, like with LeRae, they're doing, you know, they have to do the medical tests, all of that stuff has to clear before they can even be offered a contract, and depending on where they were signed previously, like, it's super illegal for them to even be in negotiations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if, I'm assuming New Japan is not one of those places, because look at, like, Nakamura and AJ.
Yeah.
But, who knows? But so hopefully we'll get something concrete and official.
In fairness, I don't think any of them, I don't think... It, like, all three of those names,
mm-hmm.
I don't think any of them are in an exclusive contract with anybody.
I don't think they are either, just because we've seen War Machine on ROH and New Japan.
Yeah.
Which, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not, mean that they're not exclusive, because, like, Young Bucks and Cody all have those exclusive with
Ring
ROH.
Of Honor.
Yeah.
But they're
at New Japan. Ricochet, I'm pretty sure, was the last, like, was a legit, like, he could go wherever he wanted to go.
Yeah.
So.
How cool. All right. So, like, Ricochet at the Rumble this year.
That would be amazing.
That'd be the coolest thing.
Like, that would be so amazing.
Like, I don't think he's a big enough name yet, but that would be really cool.
If Roman is in the ring alone, and then.
Oh, and then the entrance.
Some music we don't recognize hits.
And we think it's the Godfather.
And they just focus on Roman's face, and he looks confused. That would be cool. Why? Oh, I'm just getting mad.
Like, digging that wound up?
Cletus.
Son of a
shut
up, Allie.
A couple things from Raw and SmackDown this week that I wanted to talk about. SmackDown wasn't particularly newsworthy, minus that we got the somewhat official announcement that if Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn beat AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble, they will become co-champions. So it won't be whoever gets the pin at this point. That could still change. Like, that could be there's no co-champion.
Because we're 3 weeks away.
Right. There's plenty of time to build that. They continue to do the slow build with Brian and Shane with those tensions. The Riot Squad is dead. Like, Becky Lynch comes back in her second match and beats Ruby Riot.
Oh, okay.
Like,
I see what you're saying.
So I don't... Why? That just seems like... Unless they changed their mind. Like, the original plan was to have these two factions, like, come together, but then they just gave up because gay meat happened. And...
Yeah, like, read it?
Oh, yeah, no, we're not getting behind you. And it was so bad, it was collateral damage. So, Liv Morgan and Ruby, sorry about you. Go back to NXT. You can have your... You're going back to NXT, and you're taking away one of your T's.
Yay! Because
it's Ruby Riot. Raw, on the other hand, more stuff happened. And I wish it was better. One, we finally got the in-ring debut of Woken Matt Hardy, featuring his new music and also his old Titantron graphic. Like, not the main one, but the small ones underneath it were still just the Hardy Boys logo and, okay, like, the purple and green.
Wow, that was an oversight.
It was. Hardy tweeted about it. He was like, I will delete this person who did this. Because of course he did. But also, I'm kind of bummed that this is a squared circle, like number one post, and Meltzer and Alvarez talked about it on their show, because it's something that I realized after watching that. It's like, oh, I know I hate Woken Matt Hardy. It's the laugh. Vince clearly thinks that the only thing that is popular about this is Matt Hardy's stupid laugh. And so that's why it's in his intro. It's in his new music. It's in his new music. It's the opening, and it's just like in there sporadically. It's the only, it's the reason we've only gotten laugh offs in the last like 3 weeks. They find this one thing and they're like, we're just going to beat it to death. But then everybody else had that thought because it's obvious, and it's just disappointing. I'm really bummed. I really hoped that like the Woken Broken stuff would be special.
Yeah.
And it just feels like another thing that they have kind of co-opted.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael Cole, get in the ring and show us how to do the delete motion.
Two fingers across the chest. Don't aim up. Don't aim do up. Whole hand.
We did get the club again.
And that is my favorite thing right now.
And I want to say, and I also want to really give credit again to Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
He's so good at being just the lame, like Roman and Seth, like just obviously looking uncomfortable and ashamed of being in the ring with him as he's trying to do like the believe that. Like it's so stupid. It's so, he's so awful, and it's wonderful.
And then just Anderson and Gallows and Finn Balor.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best
them
thing.
Doing their handshakes and like the down lows and up highs.
Did you listen to the two-part Stone Cold Steve Austin with Gallows and Anderson?
No. That sounds like a nightmare.
No, and like you would think that, but it's actually really good. Daddy was a fall down man, only gets sang once. But then, like, the opening of it is apparently Anderson just talks about how rich he is all the time.
Does he talk about his hot Asian wife?
No, he doesn't. But he's just like, oh, yeah, you see my bank account. I'm loaded now. I'd love to live in LA now. I used to do it when I was broke. And then guy's like, yeah, no, I wish he'd pay for something. And, like, it's stuff like that. And it's just like, oh, and it's with Stone Cold.
Right.
So it's literally.
So it's all three stages of the revolution?
Yeah, yeah. Just. The big one is at right. The end. Anderson met Gallows' grandparents. Is like, you want to go shooting guns? Of course I do.
Also, in just one of the most unsurprising sentences, you say, Braun tried to kill someone again, except this time it was two people. Did you see that segment?
No.
Okay, so.
Bat Braun.
I'm gonna paint you a picture. Kane and Lesnar are brawling. Why? I don't know. Kane hit Lesnar with his best shot last week, and Lesnar sat up laughing. Doesn't inspire confidence. So they're brawling. They go backstage. Braun comes out of nowhere, beats the crap out of both of them, throws Lesnar around, picks up one of those giant, like, sound crates, picks that up, hits Lesnar with it, turns around and throws it onto Kane, who's, like, leaning on table, puts him down. So they're dead. Lesnar then goes to another thing, opens it up, pulls out a grappling hook.
Because why not?
People are like, why would there be a grappling hook required? My theory is he brought it from home. In one throw, loops it over because it's on the giant, like, steel sound stage. Like,
Mother Bat Braun over here.
First try, loops up over the grappling hook and pulls down the stage on top of Lesnar and Kane. Allie looks terrified.
And of course, what I'm about to end this with is what exactly what happened. But it's exactly what, how did, he just killed two people with a stage. How did he end it? Both arms up, Braun leaves.
While Heyman was pleading for, like, help and, like, don't do this, like, cause Heyman's amazing.
Yeah, so Lesnar was stretchered out.
But you could hear him saying, like, I don't want to go. Like, get off me.
Yeah.
Kane got up. And just staggered away.
Into the darkness.
Kane. But he couldn't put Lesnar down. The build's stupid. But Braun is fun. And I love Braun. And he makes me happy.
And like, all right. First shot. And I it's obviously that was a pre-tape.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I want to know how many times it took him.
I'm willing to bet one. He Mr. Perfect it.
That's true.
Say it to his face that you thought he needed multiple takes.
I can't. He's too tall. I'd say it to his navel.
We'll get you a step stool.
Hashtag Marco.
And then the other thing from Raw that I really wanted to talk about because it was so bad is Alexa Bliss is trying to pit Nia Jax against Asuka for her to, like, hurt Asuka so she has a better chance of beating her. So she's telling Nia, like, do you know what she said about you? And she whispers something in her ear And Naya asks her, do you speak Japanese? No. Asuka doesn't speak English and walks away.
And again,
let's ignore the fact that we have seen Asuka cut promos, because you can get away with saying like, well, NXT doesn't really count. She's talked on Raw. If you go to Botchamania, she's the one who tells Nia Jax, you talk too much.
Yeah.
The worst part of it is that segment was the thing that immediately was right before that segment was the Miz Asuka announcement that they were in the mixed match challenge.
So Asuka,
where they have a conversation with each other. Are you kidding me? Like, that's some Jinder Mahal level racism. That's so unnecessary and stupid and adds absolutely nothing. It's just straight up insulting. I hate it. It's so stupid.
But again, if we never saw Asuka speak English on main roster, I'd have been cool with it. Like, it's...
I mean, yes and no. I think eventually you do have to be able to communicate with your audience.
Well, yeah. Well, but like where she is right now. And again, no, this was completely stupid because we've totally seen her do that.
Right.
But it's one of those like, yeah, take NXT out of it. Because you have to. But if we would have never heard her talk, because really all she's just been is just been killing people, like just destroying people.
Right.
So like nobody wants to talk to her backstage. She is a legitimate monster. We're not gonna figure out if she speaks English.
The thing is she's really not. Like she's not like a Strowman where she just walks around like her whole character arc is she destroys people. Like she is given like other stuff, like nuanced stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I like, and that's the only reason I don't think that really, like, I think at a certain point, like, she very much is going to have to communicate with the audience. But you're right, like.
Where she is right now, you could get away with
early that. Enough in her debut, yeah. Like, this is kind of the upper edge. But like we've said, she's already spoken. We've already moved past that point. Like, that could be a thing that they used. And maybe that's what they thought they were doing. And they forgot.
Yeah, they're just like, oh no, she's never spoke English before.
Yeah. So before we get to Wrestle Kingdom. We want to give another shout out preview to Stride.
Yeah.
Pro Wrestling. This Saturday in Marion, the Star Center Mall in Marion, Illinois, it is the first ever Stride Cup.
We've already seen the trophy.
Yeah, we've seen the trophy has been posted on Facebook. It looks awesome. Whenever Stride does something different, they do it super well.
Yeah.
Like they really put their effort into it. I know for sure we are getting, Roger Mathis is getting his rematch for the Stride Championship.
You want me to say?
Against Jay Spade. I'll let you do the first round.
Okay.
And then, the tag team championships will be defended. It's the DR Party taking on the team of Aaron Brooks and Joey O'Reilly. Please win.
DR Party.
Just Brooks and O'Reilly. Like, it's just us. Those hands are rated E for everyone. Deliver. I need it. I need Dexter to lose more.
Direct to their face.
Just
do what Nintendo can't. Promise it.
Why? Cletus. And then another championship rematch is Tony Flood gets his legacy championship rematch against Chris Hargis.
Yep.
Which I'm bummed we missed that first match. I'm very happy that we get to see the rematch.
Yeah, because they're both really good.
So, and Dalton has the first round of the Stride Cup.
Yeah. So, first round of the Stride Cup, we have Magnifico versus Brian Richards. Brian, sorry you pulled that one again. Hashtag lost your beard. Hashtag lose first round. We have Heath Hatton versus Ace Hawkins.
Yes.
He's a face, so I don't have to say the, which I'm really happy about.
Oh, is it going to be awkward after CCW Live tonight?
He doesn't listen to us.
That's fair.
Axe versus JD Wilk. Sorry, JD.
Ooh. Ooh, I'm on board with that.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. And then Shane Louder versus an unnamed opponent.
Stride has a bunch of people they could call back.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see who the mystery person is.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I have a couple guesses. I'm not going to say them because then if it's right, I'll just come on and be like, I was so right. And you'll never know. Shady. 5-star shade. I don't know.
Stop trying to make that a
thing. So that's the end of the show, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing else to talk about. Nothing else wrestling related happened this week.
Happy Rusev Day.
All right. We're out.
Sweet. All right.
No, so
oh, I almost turned my mic off.
Wrestle Kingdom 12, of course. And before we get into like the breakdown of everything that happened with it, I think I had my expectations too high. Like this, watching these matches, could have ended in me losing 15 pounds, growing 2 inches, and like my bank account has some extra zeros on it. And I think I still would have been like, I mean, yeah, it was cool. And that's on me. That is entirely on me. It's just that I was so hyped for this event. Like, this is the most hyped I have been for a wrestling thing in a while.
Yeah. And I mean, I was too.
That said, I didn't see the whole card. Everything that I had seen was amazing. I know you saw the whole thing.
Yeah.
Your original plan did not work out so well.
So did I tell you what happened, Allie?
Which I think is hilarious.
Shannon did.
I watched the Young Bucks match, which was, I didn't watch the Rumble because I was like, all right, I'll take an hour nap. I'll just skip the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the Young Bucks match, which was amazing. And then I fell directly asleep. I woke up at like 7 and then watched all of it.
Oh, you're so dumb.
But yeah, no,
I haven't seen the full matches of a lot of stuff, but I've seen like clips and bits and pieces, and I'm going to go back and rewatch it. Mm-hmm. I planned on doing that tonight, but I didn't get the chance to. But the Young Bucks are so good.
And
Roppongi 3K is also just like,
for being as young as they are,
mm-hmm.
they are amazing.
Yeah.
And like the work that they did with Rocky Romero, and like the point of it is that they're 3,000 times better than Roppongi Vice.
Right.
And then, just the Young Bucks needing to take care of the Rocky Romero situation first and then went on with the match was really like, I liked that add on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to hear some spoilers out of me.
Oh, no, that's fine. Like, and just so everybody knows at this point going forward, just in case, if you have not seen.
Oh, yeah, we're going to spoil it.
If you haven't seen Wrestle Kingdom 12 yet, we are about to go full spoilers. So this is your one warning. I'm going to ramble on for another couple seconds just to buy you a little bit of time. If you have to fish the phone out of your pocket or you're driving, you got to pull over. That said, you have been warned, Dalton. Proceed with your point.
But yeah, just that Young Bucks three. And I honestly thought Roppongi was going to win it.
Yeah.
Because like the Bucks have had it six times.
Right.
And
what else is there for them to do other than potentially move up to the heavyweight?
Which
tag team championship?
Them versus the Killer Elite Squad. Yes.
Because for those who don't know, like the New Japan, like the heavyweight versus the lightweight or junior weight, whatever they call it.
It's straight up a promotion.
It doesn't have anything to do with actual weight class. It's just if you when they see that, oh, you're someone we can take seriously as a competitor and we think you can do well in that division, they will promote you up. Kenny Omega for the longest time was a junior weight. Now, everybody's on the phone.
I'm getting the card. I'm looking at the card right now. Yeah. No, I know, because also Prince Devitt was also a junior weight that got promoted up.
Right.
Trent Beretta, it was his first night as a heavyweight.
Yep.
And I had to explain that to Shannon that it was kind of like more of a promotion than it actually being like a weight class.
Right. So yeah, because I genuinely did assume that the Bucks would lose this and then be promoted up to the heavyweight tag team division.
Yeah.
Because it's some new blood that they can feud with. It's, you know, a bunch of new matches they can do. The Bucks deserve it.
Yeah,
like, and if it is considered, because it's not like being disrespectful that they're still in the junior weight division.
It's just a different weight, like right. Or it's just a different group,
right?
It's not a like this one's better than the other one, because like honestly, if you're gonna ask me which tag team match I liked more, I liked the Young Bucks 3K match more,
because
I mean those guys, their styles are more similar, and it's more of a style that I enjoy watching,
right?
In a tag match, so I mean I enjoyed that match more. I wouldn't say that it was bad either way. One of them tapped out to the sharpshooter. That never happens.
Right.
That was neat.
Also, just the fact that now the Young Bucks are 7-time IWGP Tag Team Champions is awesome.
Yeah. And then, so right after that was the never open weight 6-man bout, mm-hmm. which was that gauntlet match.
Right.
Which, like, so much fun watching that. Chaos ended up winning it, which was awesome. Chaos is, Yano, Ishii, and Trent Beretta.
Yep.
That match was stupid fun. Just because Yano is like, I want to say a guilty pleasure of mine to watch.
Mm-hmm.
He's just ridiculous. You have my login information. I need you to watch Yano versus Colt Cabana.
Yano is the kind of pudgier guy who does all the comedy stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
I think you will like the
Colt Cabana match.
Yeah, because I mean, Colt Cabana is awesome. You just describe Colt Cabana too.
Well, no, I mean, and I don't mean, and when I say pudgy, I don't mean that derogatorily. Just like he's got a belly on him. It's just a fact. I don't think he would disagree with that. I've seen quite a few of his matches actually. It's just that kind of like comedy. It's too far that I get. It's not for me. That like, yeah. I'm not that demographic. I get why people like it. It's just I'm not a fan of that particular style.
Also, another really thing that I loved was at the tag tournament, whenever Elgin was dealing with all the sexual allegations and stuff like that, and the DMs about Jeff Cobb showed up, they faced War Machine. Mm-hmm. And during that, War Machine was just pretty much saying, F. Michael Elgin, he's a piece of... Just to make Michael Elgin and War Machine open that match as a team.
Right.
Was just like, oh, that's not cool. But no, that match was a lot of fun. There's not a match on this card that I would say, no, you can skip it.
Right.
Then we had...
Did you ever go back and watch the Rumble?
Not yet.
Okay.
I heard it was really good, but it's one of those... I've seen the main show like two times now, but I haven't watched the Rumble.
Okay.
Then we had Kota Ibushi versus Cody.
This, like you said... The crossroads off the apron or on the apron.
Where Ibushi like landed exclusively on the top of his head.
Right. Because he's Ibushi.
Yeah.
And he's not human.
Yeah. And Ibushi at Wrestle Kingdom is like Superman. Ibushi did end up winning that match.
Right.
There was a really awesome spot where Brandy feigned getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And like Ibushi was like being the great person. He's like, he picked her up. He's like, oh no, just to turn around and Cody punch him in the face. And then both of them just maniacally laugh at him.
Right.
Just like, oh, you two are perfect. And then you have the heavyweight tag match after that. The Los Ingobernables de Japón, Evil and Sonata, which after Evil faced Okada a couple months back, I've just been all aboard the Evil train.
Yeah.
Versus the Killer Elite Squad, Davey Boy Smith and Lance Archer. That match was a lot of fun. A lot of people, cause like I've just got New Japan World, but I like keep up with Japanese wrestling regularly. So I've known about these people.
Mm-hmm.
The Killer Elite Squad is just, they're fun because they're just big Americans that are loud and yell at people in Japan and like throw water on them and stuff. So it's one of those things like
Davey Boy Smith, the American.
Pretty sure he's American. He's either American or Canadian.
One of them's a pretty solid difference between the two. Cletus.
So after that. Also,
just fun fact for you, Allie. Lance Archer used to wrestle in ECW. Well, he wrestled in TNA first as Lance Archer.
Mm-hmm.
Then he wrestled in ECW as Vance Archer.
What's he doing in the ECW zone?
And now he's back to, British-Canadian professional wrestler. Davey Boy Smith Jr.
I thought he was born in Florida. Anyway, then we had, again, another great match was Goto versus Suzuki, the hair versus hair match.
Right.
That match was, I said my famous phrase, go back to fake hitting each other.
Yeah, it's gross.
Because there was at one point where I think Suzuki just started slapping Goto.
I mean, it's both.
Slapping him in the face, slapping him in the stomach, and it was like 8 slaps in a row. Shannon and I watched it and just cringed. I think Hunter was here too, and I was like, at a certain point, I'd kick him in the balls. Kick him in the balls.
Cause I'm not playing this anymore.
Yeah, it's like, this game isn't fun. Screw you guys, I'm going home. Mm-hmm. But, Goto ended up losing it. The funny thing is when he started cutting his hair, he started with the bust part up top.
Mm-hmm.
And I even told Hunter, I was like, well, he started at the wrong spot. You need to do the plume in the back.
Right.
But he eventually cut that off. He is completely shaved now.
That's one that I'm actually excited to go back and
it's real good. Will Ospreay defeated Marty Scurll, Takahashi and Kushida. That match was really good.
Yeah.
There was like, I was talking to Billy Hills about it. There was one botch that didn't even really look like a botch.
Mm-hmm.
Like we could tell it wasn't what they're supposed to do because they all kind of had to backtrack for a second, but it was covered so well.
Mm-hmm.
And just all four of those. Scroll just running out of the ring the first like 5 minutes of it, just being like, no, you guys are good. Go in there, punch somebody, run out.
Right.
The wings, his entrance was awesome. But yeah, Ospreay is the new junior heavyweight champion.
He's going to wrestle Pete Dunne in a match coming up soon.
So are they going to put both belts on the line?
I mean, no.
but
it'll be really interesting to see, like, do one of them not bring their championship? Like, does WWE have more pull than New Japan on whose champion loses? Do they do a false finish, like, or do they do a dusty finish?
Probably.
I just think it's cool that the fact that like the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion and the WWE UK Champion are going to be
in a ring together. Yeah, right. Yeah. Will Ospreay and like his, I can't say how that was probably my favorite match of the show was that four way. Just because of the work all four of those guys did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just, as a, just straight wrestling, story-wise, I love.
The parts that I've seen were nuts, so I'm excited to go and watch the rest of it.
Tanahashi did beat Jay White, which I was super bummed about.
I get it.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I was bummed.
I mean, I like Tanahashi more than Jay White. I know Tanahashi a lot more than I know Jay White.
Yeah, and it's one of those, like, with the way the last three matches went down, Jay White really should have won.
That's fair.
Because all three champions retained.
I will say, too, like, see, and I don't really have a problem with that. Like, and I will say, too, like, what happened at New Year's Dash with Kenny Omega offering him a spot in the Bullet Club, he puts on the shirt and then hits his finisher on Kenny Omega, like, immediately. And then takes off the Bullet Club shirt. Like, that was neat. I'm excited to see those two go at it.
I want Jay White to win that U.S. belt now.
Yeah, that would be cool.
But yeah, no, that match was a lot of fun. Tanahashi is the man for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, I think the, it's one of, like, the only, like, two other Wrestle Kingdoms that he didn't made event. So, like, yeah, no, he's just insane. Kenny Omega defeated Chris Jericho. This match. And I kind of
Match and the main event were the two that I sat down, like, specifically made time to sit down and watch.
Yeah. And, like, my only gripe is I wish I could have seen more of a technical match first and then had this match. And, but even just having this match, oh, my God.
Yeah, they did the blow-off match first. And it's like when you ask me, like, well, would you have rather it have just been, a straight-up wrestling match? I can't really answer that because I would need to see it. Because they used the no DQ stuff as best as they possibly could. And they really used it effectively. And I really, and like I said, like, I love Jericho, but I think that if that was done to kind of help cover for him a little bit. That said, he's done some stuff that we haven't seen him do, like the springboard dropkick counter.
Yeah, that was timed amazingly.
Like, he slapped the Red Shoes is the referee. He's like their big, most known, popular referee.
Yeah.
Gets in his face, shoves him down. When they go to the outside, his son is one of the young lions who's like a junior. He's there learning. He's a student.
Anytime you watch a New Japan match and you see like the 10 guys out there that really don't have cameras or anything.
They're taking entrance gear and holding the championship, stuff like that. Those are the young lions.
Yeah.
Jericho finds, like, it's his dad, slaps the shit out of him and then puts him in the lion tamer.
The one where his knee is on the back of his head.
After he dropped Red Shoes. And it was doing this, like, as his son was screaming in his dad's face in pain. Jericho went full ballistic, like, evil. And it was the best. It was the 2008 feud. I don't know how much of that you've seen, like, where he was feuding with, where he punched Shawn Michaels' wife in the face accidentally. He, like, threw Shawn Michaels' face into the Jeritron 5000.
Turned his eye all wonky.
Yeah, that did it. And so, but it was that, but turned up to 11. He was doing everything he could to make Kenny Omega the face of New Japan. And it worked.
Being mildly racist.
Yeah. Kenny.
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 Shannon and I were watching it, and I was like, I think that's more racist than your Rumble comment.
It was uncomfortable. But I mean, but if anyone's going to do it, like, correctly, it's Jericho, him. Because I don't think anyone's going to have more respect for Japan and Japan wrestling. And
well, we watched the Poch match conference.
We'll get there.
And then, the Okada and Naito match was everything I thought it was going to be and then some.
I was genuinely surprised Naito did not win. That was the one that I really thought was going to change.
And that's why I said after, like, if I had to know, well, I did know that Omega won and Okada won. So whenever I went into because I watched those two matches first, so I didn't get anything spoiled. Mm-hmm. Whenever I watched Tanahashi Wada, I was like, oh, White's definitely going to win now.
Right.
And I was like, geez, all three of them won?
And that match was amazing. The story they told was great, with Naito wanting to go back to his, like, baby face when he was a, like, up-and-comer, using his, dive finish, Stardust, what is it? Stardust something. It's like, it's kind of like a Phoenix Splash, but inverted. It's awesome. And when he hits it, it looks amazing, but he doesn't do it a lot anymore. But so he tried to do it, like, three times, and Okada countered it, like, all three times. And just my only problem with it is the finishing sequence was literally tombstone pile driver into the other guy hits his finisher into the other guy hits a jumping spinning tombstone pile driver. And it's just like, ah, that's the bit where it's like Cornette hates it. Watching it, I knew Shannon is going to hate this.
And whenever
that one specific sequence, he's going to hate.
We were talking about this Sunday during Nerd Up, or right before Nerd Up, and he's like, I feel like Shannon was going to hate it. And I was like, oh no, Shannon absolutely hated it. I can say that because Shannon was sitting right next to me.
Right. And again, and I wasn't a fan of it. Like, I get why people were, but it's like,
But it was playing back. Like that. It was playing back to an older match with Risk Control and stuff like that, so I got it.
Oh no, like I said, I get it. But that doesn't mean I have to like it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that said, like, no, the match was phenomenal. I think the crowd was also pretty surprised that Okada lost because
Okada won.
That Okada won because his reaction wasn't as solid as I'm sure a lot of people were expecting. And he even apparently in the, cause he cuts a promo immediately after. But what he says was kind of amazing. He was like, hey, I know a lot of people, like there are some people who aren't happy that I'm here as champion, but just know I'm going to continue to do my best and to continue to win and be the best wrestler in Japan and to put on the best show that I can for people. It's like, okay, that was actually done like from the heart and legitimate. And that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Cause I mean, he's had the belt for over 500 days. So like, yeah. I understand it.
Right.
And Naito would have been a good person to lose the belt to.
Absolutely.
But it's...
And I would have loved to see Naito with that belt.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
But what's coming next is also pretty neat.
Yeah.
Because the New Year's Jet Dash, it looks like they're doing the Kenny Omega, Jay White feud. Chris Jericho attacked Naito. And it's one of those things like, oh, so I'm happy we get to see more Jericho in Japan, because that was cool. I'm very excited, looking forward to seeing those two have a match. But it's that things like, ooh, at what point does Chris Jericho's like WWE stock start to go down if all he does is lose to these like big names? Because I don't expect. I mean, yes and no.
He like, lost to Bray Wyatt.
Like for me, none. Yeah, but like when you go back to WWE, he's like, oh, and he had these great matches in Japan, but you don't get to say like, oh, he beat the, you know, a top name in Japan.
Yeah,
I don't mean like legitimately. I mean like storytelling.
Yeah, but they're not going to mention that. They're going to say he had great matches, and because guess what, Brock Lesnar was a UFC star that got bitched out by a couple of people.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
if you haven't seen it, legitimately one of my favorite parts coming out of Wrestle Kingdom weekend is the post-match press conference, because every match gets one. Chris Jericho. Uncensored 08 heel up to 11 of just, you drag me out of my dressing room? What? Ask a question. Uncomfortable silence. If no one's going to ask me a question, I'm going to leave. Someone asks a question. He answers it in like a rude, dismissive manner. Is anyone else going to ask a question? The same person asks a question. He then says, you've already asked one. One question per reporter. Don't be greedy.
Oh, what was it? You want to know how I think? Flipped everybody off.
Just print this.
Print this.
As he's just flipping the bird to the... I loved the... someone compared him to, like, Fukuyama or something. He's like, no, yeah, I have great... Fukuyama was a warrior. He didn't care about the fans or the press or you people. Like, much respect to Fukuyama. No respect to you. And he's just such a dick.
And it was so amazing.
It's wonderful. But, yeah, I...
Go...
Like, it's $8.
It's $8.88.
Right.
I can tell you that because I've looked at my balance twice.
Do it before it gets too late into the month because they don't do what WWE Network does. It's from the first of the month to the first of the month. And that's all you get. So if you bought a subscription on, you know, January 30th, you're getting billed again February 1st.
Yeah, because it is an auto-renew. Like, there isn't like a, hey, you forgot to pay. They do bill you again.
Don't I know from experience. Heart, yeah. But you know, it's $8.88. It's absolutely worth the show for Wrestle Kingdom alone. On top of all of the past content that you get, New Year's Dash had some really awesome moments in it. Like, and support New Japan.
You know what? I will start doing a match of the week. I won't talk about it. I'll just be like, hey, if you get New Japan World, watch this match. Watch Jericho Omega
I'm on board with that.
Yeah, and
that's what's happening. It's not a required reading, but a required viewing of Dalton Anthony's New Japan pick of the week. We'll come up with a snappier name. I'm hungry. We're going to go. Hey, we beat an hour. So thank you everyone for joining us. I looked at it. I was like, how did we cover that much time? Cause we were at like 30 minutes earlier. Thank you everyone for joining us. Shannon will be back next week. I don't know the status of the Thursday show. I haven't heard it. I know Shannon still won't be back. So I don't know if Jesse has something planned. There may just be no Thursday show. If that's the case, tune in Sunday for Nerd Up. Next Tuesday, Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man will be back. We did a really good Nerds for Hire last night where we talked about our favorite things in comics from the year, 2017. You can go to podzilla1985.com to check that out. Go to facebook.com/podzilla1985. Give us a like. We appreciate that. You know, let us know what you thought of Wrestle Kingdom. Did you think Okada should have lost the championship? Who do you want to see Jericho wrestle next if he's staying for an extended period of time in Japan?
Cody.
Yeah. That'd be weird to see Cody versus Chris Jericho, but in Japan. Like, that just seems like it would
be
weird.
Oh, that'd be the best. Just that middle finger to WWE. Awesome.
Patreon.com/Podzilla1985. Every little bit we appreciate. Thank you to those who do, support us monetarily. And yes, thank you so much. Thank you, Allie.
Yes.
Thank you, Dalton.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Like I said, Shannon, we'll be back next week with the regular cast. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I apologize if the audio was messed up because I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh, this probably is not great. But yeah, so thank you for tuning in. We are going to get out of here. We will see you possibly tomorrow night, Sunday for sure. Have a great night and have just the best Rusev day.